all members are present.
Do we have any public comment? That would be anything that we have from the public that is not currently on the agenda. I don't see that that's going to happen, so we will close public comments. Minutes to be approved. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved to approve minutes of January 18th.
Second. And then moved and seconded. Any comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Presentations. Staff.
We wanted to bring the committee up to date. As you know, we've had some filtration plant challenges out at Wastewater Plant 2, and I will turn it over to Gregory and Bernie.
It's under discussion.
That's fine. We have no presentation.
I'm sorry.
Moving to E, we will now move forward with Bernie and Gregory.
There you go.
We had some operational issues. You remember last meeting, we just talked about some operational issues with the filtration process. Veolia did send a letter in saying that there were operational issues with the filtration process. Since then, this company, the equipment that we purchased from Parkston, they sent out a representative to assist. But by the time they got here, we pretty much had it mostly back under control. The process had gotten upset with the excessive algae into the oxidation ditch, and that upset the material going into the filter and it affected the process of how the filter functions. At that time, Bernie started taking water to plant one so that we weren't bringing algae back into the system. But we have a long sludge age, and it takes 2-3 weeks to work out that algae out of the process because of the age that we hold. But by the time Parkston was here, that was mostly worked out. Parkston came on site and found a couple things that weren't quite set up right, that had not been set up properly during initial startup. If you remember from the letter, like one of the notes in the letter was there was excessive pressure drop on the filter. It turned out that we had a faulty sensor installed and an improper offset set, and that was adjusted. They also made some adjustments in terms of how water flows to the filters, and they reviewed with Veolia a little bit different way of starting up and stopping filters, and which ones are online and offline in a rotating sequence. So the long and short of it is the filter is back operating properly. It is not using chemicals right now. We are making permanent with the filter. It did highlight some operational things around the incident, highlighted some operational things about how the filter works and how the plant works in conjunction with the filter. And we've been discussing with Bernie different things long term to think about how it might help the plant maintain its operations, limiting the amount of algae that comes back. Bernie has sent me some data on things that might try and treat algae in the lagoons, which we're looking at. But we're saying it's operating fine now, but we want to monitor some more and make sure we're not going to have upset conditions in the future. And now we're thinking about ways to mitigate what we learned from this incident to prevent it from happening in the future.
Yeah. We need to look at some long-term solution, because right now we're just running a specification that the permit requires specification that the filter was built. But once we go into Title 22, we'll be permitted for those limits, and we've got to be making sure that we can meet those limits once we get permitted. And it's a good thing we're working these out now, but there are some long-term concerns that we need to get addressed before that we get to that point.
I would assume that algae's not going to go away. It's going to continue to be there every year.
Yeah, it only gets magnified worse in the summertime.
Right.
And the way our lagoons are set up, the water in the lagoon comes back into our process somewhere eventually, because we have to maintain a freeboard in the lagoons all the time. So once they get full, it has to come back. The only place it can go is back through our process. So
is that algae just on top, or is it
it's suspended in the water. It's floating in the water. So it's not streaming algae. It's cloudy algae, if you would. And so that sits in the top of the water. We overflow water out of the lagoons, out the top. So any algae that's in surface comes back to the plant. Other plants have dealt with it in different ways. You can try and treat the algae. You can limit how often you go to the lagoons. Prior to the filters, we only went to the lagoons for two reasons. When they were doing a bypass, so if they had a bypass, would bypass once a week to clean clarifiers.
Yeah, which would clean the algae out of clarifiers.
Yeah. So even though algae came back then, it was once a week, and the process seemed to be able to handle it. The big change was when we put the filters on, there was an option to take the water to the lagoons and then back from the lagoons back to the plant, or to just take it directly to the plant. So the plant staff had been operating, taking it to the lagoons, but that meant that on a daily 24-hour basis, we're bringing the water back from the lagoons. And clearly, that was too much algae. 24/7, that amount of water was bringing back too much algae. So it wasn't just that the filter struggled with that much algae, the process struggled with that much algae. Algae started to interfere with the biological process that was taking place in the ditch, and that changed the flock coming out, and that impacted filter operations along with the algae. So, looking back towards in the future, we want to go back to where we only go to the lagoons when we have to. We're not going 24/7 to the lagoons. We're operating that way now. But then the question was, okay, if we're not operating that way now, is there some other changes we might want to do, like maybe take the belt press water so it doesn't go to the lagoons? Take the belt press water to the ditch. So, there's some little changes we could make to further reduce going to the lagoons. We need the lagoons. We need to bypass occasionally. We need new maintenance. And we don't want to send a bunch of algae. Like when we clean algae out of filters, that's the long stringy algae, right? So if we have sand filters, we don't want to send long stringy algae onto sand filters. Can you imagine it's just going to mat on top of it and we're going to have a problem. So there was also some things that we noticed that when we were having problems, it was hard for the operators to identify the problem, because the filters are all completely covered. So we've talked about maybe we need some more doors so they can look at certain things. And Parkson showed the operations staff how to learn how to look for problems. Like if it's not working well, how might we look? But it meant that you had to really understand the filter and really do stuff, because it wasn't all there. It wasn't right there in front of your eyes. So we've talked about maybe adding some more doors in the forest so that we can pick up a door and look to see what's going on with the water. One of the problems we had is one filter wasn't getting any water. We thought it was, but there was no water in the filter. But it's all covered. So either you had to kind of know how the thing's going on, or you had to like lift up one of those covers to see, oh, there's no water in the filter. They showed us how to treat that and how to take care of that problem. But at the time, the operators were struggling to diagnose it was a problem.
Because there's no signs of a problem.
Right.
Yeah. So, if you knew how to look, like their expert came out and said, oh, if you know how to look, you can do this and you can do this, kind of thing. But, at the moment, we're learning these filters. We're not experts at these filters yet, kind of thing.
Right.
And,
it's not really the operations thing.
Yeah. So there's, so it's a combination of some operations things, and then long term, we're looking at some other fuel fixes, like maybe some little doors in the floor, maybe a little piping change. Bernie and I are going to work on those before the next CIP. As well, so that we can kind of identify things that might take place.
Two things. One is the reject water was really high, a high amount of reject water from the filter going to lagoon or to wherever.
Yeah.
Was that number reduced at all? Or
yeah,
we
should be reduced. So they made changes to the filters on that. And then what it turns out is one of the filters that wasn't flowing water is because all the water going in the filter was coming out the reject.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
So the processed water was coming out the reject side.
Maybe that higher amount going
right.
to the
Yeah, so what had happened is the filter had gotten so dirty, water wouldn't push the sand, it was pushing through the reject stream. And so that brought back a high amount of water. And that also compounded. That brought back more water than we anticipated, and that all went to the lagoon, and that brought back more water than we anticipated from the algae.
Now, going to the lagoons, we have weirs there, the sludge lagoons, and so you lower the gates and then the water from the comes back into the plant. Could we put a pipe half midstream in that lagoon, only sucking out the middle and not taking up the top?
Right.
Is that something we can look at, or would that cause another problem?
So those are all like on the list of little things that we can do. One thing that we struggle with is lagoon one is really full sludge still. Right?
Nice.
And so algae usually grows in that top 3 feet, and then below that the algae doesn't grow because sunlight doesn't get down there. Two things is, one, the soil keeps it pretty well mixed, all right? So that pushes the algae down. But a lot of people solve this problem by drawing off the bottom of the lagoons or near the bottom of the lagoons. But because we use combinations of sludge, sometimes we store sludge in there and we store water in there, it's harder to get a pipe down below the algae layer. Which would work good. It would work good to just have a pipe below the algae layer, because I've seen some other plants that do that. They just put a pipe down, but it's usually like 5 feet
down. Kind of like a sand pipe that pulls off the supernatant.
Yeah, you know, but it's down like 5 feet, you know, and that's right into our sludge layer. At least certainly for pond one. I don't know what the sludge layer is in pond two. But in pond one, we couldn't do it because the sludge is like, you know,
like that. And like this sand that we're going to catch, more so we put in the digest, the more press we run, the more press they put back into the lagoon. So it's just kind of a different process.
Right.
The lagoons go up and down continuously.
So
because all that water goes right back into the process.
Mm-hmm. So Bernie has suggested that we take the press aid out of the lagoon directly back to the plant also, just like we're doing the filtrate. So that would help not force it into the lagoon where we had to bring it back.
That, and then look at rerouting all of back to the head or to the head of the plant instead of running through our processor. If there's any problem, it goes right into our process and then it affects our bugs, kills our biological treatment. Then since we have extended aeration, it takes about 3 weeks for our process to come back kind of normal.
You'd have to analyze the polymer because the polymer goes through
the polymer
water
also can,
and it coagulates particles. So
we all have things that we've been sort of brainstorming. Like I said, we're back to normal operation now, but we're looking down the road for how do we reduce the chance of this catching us by surprise again. And I'm not going to say it's not going to, you know, these filters, like you said, it's a brand new process. And even though you go and look at processes and other treatment plants and how they run them, you know, until you run a process for a couple of years, you really don't know all the things that you can do to screw it up. If you don't, you know, things, you know, whether it comes a certain way or, you know, we had quick algae bloom and it caused by surprise because it had been working fine for months, right? It had been working fine. Everything's going good. Bam, we got a quick algae bloom and suddenly, whoa, the whole thing's going down. We haven't changed anything. We've been running for 2 months without a problem, right? So these are things we learn when we run a new process for a while. And then you know, we're planning our way now. It's the little things to reduce that.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got over.
Well, so the plant's back in balance at this point.
Yeah, it has been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you were, I mean, I think at our last meeting, we knew it was going to take another week or two to get everything back in balance.
And we're not running chemicals now at all, so.
Oh, good. So that expense is not ongoing.
Right.
I forget, what was it we were running through the
bed? We were running a couple $1,000 a day.
Of
alum,
that was it, yeah. Okay, well, it sounds like, you know, I mean, we definitely need to be proactive on this, though, so we catch it before it gets to Sacramento, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that was my next question.
I figured it might be. Go ahead. I'll let you lead into that.
We did receive a letter, and I know I didn't read all of it, and we were going to respond because there was something that wasn't quite right the way I
responded. Yeah.
How did we get any back from them? Yeah.
No, and we may not.
Yeah, you won't receive something to talk about April.
Yeah.
Well,
because you got your NOV, which is a notification of violation. Then it has to go through an ACL process where they'll send you official action, civil action.
It just takes that.
Just takes a long process.
Yeah. Process.
Right. And this goes all the way back to the snail issue NOV. And I thought somebody had mentioned in one of our conversations here that if we had notified them before this, that they would have had greater latitude with us.
Yeah.
So I mentioned to them, this was the very, in the letter, this is the very startup, and hopefully they'll go, oh, you know,
yeah.
But who knows.
Yeah. When you talk about it being a balance issue and all that type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a UV, yeah.
Yeah, but that letter, that NOV is unrelated to the recent event.
Oh,
right.
That's
not
this is the snail.
Yeah, that has to do with the snail event that happened with the very startup in August.
On this one here, we didn't send any water out to the river. We caught it and put it in, kept it
in
the house.
For the most part, we kept it in. Some water went out to the river, but there's a technical difference.
Insignificant.
Yeah, our permit has permit limits. So what happened in August affected our permit limit, a true permit limit. The filter has what's called an engineering technical design guideline that they wanted us to hit the filter. And it was doing that. We didn't exceed a permit limit with the filter. We exceeded the guideline that they wanted us to follow when we designed the filter. So one's findable and one's not, to our understanding. So we don't think there's a fine related to the filter. But in terms of what Bernie's point at the beginning of the meeting was, right now we're in this mode of, we were just told to go build a filter and we did. We have time to practice with it, but eventually we're going to be a Title 22 plant. And when we are, that's going to be a permanent limit. It's not going to be a guideline that we have to follow and keep track of. So what Bernie is pointing to is, we need to learn our lumps now, but it doesn't cost
right.
us money. Plan appropriately so that they're very comfortable operating as a Title 22 plant when that day comes.
We are going to be required to be a Title
yes.
22 plant like almost everybody on the river is.
Yeah.
And is there any indication as to when that kind of requirement might be coming down the line?
Yeah, well, right now you have a new permit already. Mm-hmm. Because
exactly.
we, right now the UV system.
23?
Yeah, so the nitrate and UV and all that comes to a head at the same time. By coincidence, there's two parallel trains. One's nitrate, and they gave us a schedule on that. Then they gave us a schedule on filters, and then they gave us a schedule on UV. And we went ahead and made the UV changes already, but when we negotiated the permit, we told them, look, we've never run a Title 22 plant before. You can't just have us flip the switch. We want time to work with it. So we said, we'll build the filters first, we'll build the UV second, and then we're going to have time to kind of get there. Well, we just built them at the same time, but our permit doesn't change. We still have a couple of years, I think, right?
It's
2 or 3 years. We have
5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the denitrification process.
Well, it's on the same schedule, but they were independent things that they wanted. You know, it was independent, but they happened to line up at the same time.
So Bernie and I are going to be working on a letter, probably with Greg's input, to kind of update them on how we're dealing with this issue, that we're back to normal conditions. So we'll be getting that out to them within a couple of weeks.
So basically, we have like 3 different things we were working: UV, filtration, and denitrification.
Yes.
Okay. And 2 of those we've already dealt with. 1 of them we haven't.
Yeah, 2 of them we dealt with, but our permit did kick in. So we built the filter, we built the UV. Now, what we told them at the time is, you know, we need time to run that UV with these filters
sure.
in conjunction, make sure this all works before you hit us with the permit. So they gave us time, you know. Now, when we tested, we did testing with the UV filter combination during startup to see, could we certify as Title 22? Because that was another question. What do we want to certify early? Could we do it early? And there were some issues identified of high flows through the UV system. So those are things that we're going to also bring up in the master plan as we look down the road to where we have to be in a couple of years. We're going to make sure we address the high flow condition in the UV system. Because under high, we met fine for normal flows and stuff like that, but we tested 4 MGD, we ran pumps, and we tested 4 MGDs in the facility. Under high flows, the UV system didn't perform as well. And the Trojan is thinking it's a channel issue, something the way that the channel is behaving. They don't know for sure, they're speculating, but we're going to put it in the master plan to have the team look at it, along with some of the other suggestions from Bernie on different things just coming up. Now, just quickly on the master plan, we're scheduled to start it before July 1st. The end of this fiscal year is how it's sort of planned out, so we'll be starting that process.
Okay, anything more? Okay, item 2.
Item 2 is just to bring you up to date on the well 4 rehab. That was supposed to take place during this fiscal year budget.
I can provide a brief update on that.
Please.
Be very brief. So, as you guys know, as everybody here knows, anyway, we did the testing of the water supply wells last year, and we found that well 4A had a repeated decline in the specific capacity from the testing we had done 2 years prior. So we said there's a pattern here, and we need to address it before the high demand season, preferably, because as we were explaining, when you start losing capacity in a well, the more time that goes by, the harder it is to recoup that lost capacity. So we were moving full steam ahead, knowing that we were already kind of up against the clock because well 4A is a critical well during high demands. So we were, you know, working as a team to kind of coordinate who's doing what. We were authorized to proceed in December, and then we were instructed to kind of go through the formal bidding process for the well and the pump procurement. The pump is a specialized installation because we have a submersible motor in that well that has a mercury seal, which they don't make anymore, but they're the best motors ever made. And there's there's only really two qualified contractors who do that. Both contractors have done work for the district. So we've been working with both of them to get competitive costs, and that took some time. And we kind of need that pump hole so we can do a video log and some other stuff in the well so we can finalize the rehab program. Basically, as a result of kind of all these factors, the time slipped. So at this point, we're just recommending let's delay. We're having warmer than normal February. Talking to Bernie, we're kind of getting concerned about the demands shooting up while we're going into a well rehab, which has many factors involved. So we wouldn't want to be in a predicament where we don't have well 4A over the summer. So what we're recommending is we'll just prepare the bid documents now. We'll issue the bid for the well contractors sometime in mid to late summer so that we can have the contractors lined up and ready to go in the fall, right, when the demands fall back down. And we'll jump on it right away at that point.
Basically, we're delaying the process.
Yeah, because it's
4A's in Newport?
4A's in Newport, yeah, right. So on the one hand, we don't want to delay because we don't want the well to continue whatever issues it's having to get worse. But on the other hand, we being kind of a bind if we'd be in a severe bind if 4A is totally out of service. We'd be having to use well 5A, and that's highly not desirable.
We can't use 7 and 5 at the same time, the same line. So.
Right. Yeah, there'd be some hydraulics to figure out if we wanted to even run 5A instead of at the same time. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at on the 4A rehab.
Because right now we're seeing our demand at Newport is almost a half a day and a little over a day and a half. So we're seeing the demand starting to go up. So
yeah.
We were down to one well, but it would never shut off, but we were almost continuously.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Better to be safe than sorry.
Well, on the supply side.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's kind of difficult though because you don't also don't want to have it be so the degradation to be so great that you get nothing to bring back.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of what happened at Well 1B is too much time went by. And this was 5, 6, 7 years ago, and we had lost capacity. More than 50% of the drawdown capacity was twice or half of what it was originally. And when we went in and addressed it with the rehab, we didn't recoup any of the capacity back, but it hasn't changed since then either. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of at this new level of capacity. So what we did was we upsized the pump. I mean, what we're kind of on a silver lining of this, I guess, is that we have very deep screens relative to where the water levels are, so we have the ability to lower the pump and upsize the pump and possibly upsize the electrical service. It just means a less efficient well in terms of the electricity required to get the same amount of water. So that would be a possibility in 4A too.
Yeah.
It's not that we won't get the water, it's just where we have to upsize things to get the same amount of water.
Okay, any other comments on that? Anybody? Bill?
Okay.
Item 3.
Okay, item number 3, just to kind of give you a brief overview on this before I turn it over to Justin, is that back when the whole water meter installation project started, the interim general manager decided that the construction management portion of that was to be included in a general services contract with Ludorf and Scalmanini. And what has happened is, at the time that was originally organized, we changed the manner in which Ludorf and Scalmanini will be tracking each individual property and essentially creating a job for each property that we put this in so that we could build each property individually. This means the costs increased significantly. And they were not provided for within the general services contract that was originally done by the interim general manager. So now what we have is we now have some cost overruns, and we need to figure out how two things. One, we're going to have to pay them for the excess costs that it took to account for this project, and then we have the remainder of this fiscal year to get through under many of the general services that they provide for us anyway. So I wanted him to update you on that.
Okay. So, I guess to add to that was we did do a budget adjustment in the last fiscal year for the meter project for our services because of that very reason that we were, the project changed after we awarded it to JW Construction. It went down this route of, you know, tracking. It was, the decision was made after it was awarded to track the cost by residents. So we had
to about $50,000.
Well, there was it was more than $50,000. We had a budget adjustment in the fiscal year 2017-18 for two things. One was to continue the general services contract, and that was like $43,000, I think, that we budgeted for the whole year. And then there was the continuation of the meter project, which was $182,000. And that was at the start of the fiscal year of July 2017. And what that was accounting for was two things mainly. One was that we were going to have resident inspections, and at the beginning of the project we decided let's just budget for resident inspections, meaning our inspectors be there every day for like, you know, 30% of the project or something, and until kind of the wheels get greased or whatever, and then the district could kind of take that over. But then halfway through we realized we kind of need that inspector there. The other factor was what Mike was referring to, which was just the tracking of the costs. So we had developed a database. We did a budget adjustment to account for that. We're now at the final stretch, basically. And because the two budgets were kind of lumped under our general services category, we were kind of just operating under one budget, essentially. And the meter project has kind of sucked into what would have been the general services portion of what we normally do, which is just the on-call stuff, the, you know, participating at meetings, helping with regulatory matters, responding to, you know, surveys and water audits and things of that nature that come up that there's not a specific scope for, need to be addressed immediately. So what we're looking at right now is we're working on our final deliverable, which is basically providing the district with the database that we've developed that would be able to be used by the district to put together the resident bills, you know, the individual resident bills. And it's an enormously critical step, right, to make sure that everything that we use this database to manage construction, to manage on a monthly basis how many meters they installed, how many different types of change orders occurred, that when they submit those monies, those pay requests, our inspectors have all the documentation to back it up. And now we're at this final stage where we're taking all that information and turning it into what would be able to be utilized by the district to develop the individual resident bills. And so, you know, it was just a hard thing to actually determine how much time would be involved for that step. And at this point, we're approximately, you know, $10,000 over budget to do that. And I'm a few days away from being able to provide this deliverable to the district. So We're kind of just, you know, I was informing Mike, we're over budget on the whole general services, and, you know, we want to we're basically just, you know, get a deliverable to the district that they can use, sit down with the district, go over it, make sure everybody understands the information that we have, and, you know, hopefully still be able to participate in the monthly meetings and all the other activities. There's other activities going on that, you know, that we're involved with. So that was the update. I don't know if Mike, that kind of
yeah. And I think that just to synthesize down the three things that we're looking at. One is to take care of the $10,000 costs that we're already in the hole on. Secondarily, how do we get from here to the end of the fiscal year on the general services part of it, and then the methodology for doing that, how do we really want to do it? I think we want to change it from what Catherine instituted. And then the third issue is, when we get our final deliverable, it's going to come in a format that may be labor intensive for how we translate that data into putting it on a bill. And if we want kind of a plug and play system, we don't know if we're going to need that. That would be something they would scope as additional work. And so that we're going to have to kind of figure out, once we see the data, how user-friendly is it for our staff to deal with it, and then how much would it cost to actually make it user-friendly at the end.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big, yeah, and I could explain, I could add some more color to that, I guess, if you want to understand why there's two versions of what we might provide. Well,
I was thinking that, correct me if I'm wrong and misunderstood something, but I know we're gonna have type one, type two, type three.
Yeah.
Even though the type ones, there were some real, real easy ones, and there was some pushing just below type two or something. I thought we would take all the type ones, total those up, and then divide it if you were in type one, versus giving everybody an individual.
Well, the only
you get $185, I get $276, I might get $482.
Yeah.
That's not what was decided at the board meeting. It was
right.
Cost accounting, and
for
that's what
one.
Caused this database to be developed and built. These, just so you know, all these costs that they're doing for the meter project are going to be billed to the residents. So they will all be sharing those costs. But no, they're each property has been accounted for, every single thing in the ground.
Because each property, they get a different meter box, they may get a different type of meter, they may get...
We had to document all the size of every meter, whether it was a new or reused box or the lid, but that was one part of it. The other part of it is they are just a one, two, or three, and those are fixed costs. If you are deemed as a type two, because you're in softscape, but we had to replumb it and drop in the box, there's a fixed cost for that with JW for the homeowner. That's not debatable at all. I mean, that's pretty black and white. The parts that became troubling was the parts that, you know, really couldn't be anticipated in the project, which is just by nature of a meter project, because you have 35 individual sites, and it's not like you've got a site plan for each one. We have a general description of what a type 2 is, you know, and he shows up and he says, well, there's a rock on top of it. How do you want me to treat that? You know, what is the type of that? Or there's a fence post that I have to remove and put back in. Where's the type for that? So we ended up having to handle change orders, right? A lot of really small ones. And if it were just a project that were subsidized in the sense where you get one total contract and it's divided equally over everybody, those change orders would have been like, well, we just handle one per day, you know? What are all the issues? Document it all up. But instead, we had to say, oh, this address, number, so-and-so on this street, had a mailbox, and we need to write down a work order for that person, for that home, in that address, and then go right next door, and there's another one right there, too, maybe. You know, and they were small, I mean, mostly $50 or something, but they weren't technically within the definition of what, you know, was in a type 1, 2, or 3. So there's a lot of accounting to take care of that kind of stuff.
And so you had to be on scene, and of course, JW wants everything to be a type 3, because you get more money. You get
right.
more money for type, he gets more money.
Right.
And on top of all this, there had to be accounting and agreements and inspection, because we had infrastructure stuff taking place right in those boxes as we did this. And so you had to separate out when we had to replace an angle stop or a manifold.
Yeah.
Or
so that was even more complicated.
Yeah, it was huge.
We ended up just saying, look, we're just going to have, when we get AMSs, let's not respond to those as an emergency. Let's, as much as possible, identify the ones, at the beginning of the day, skip them, and we'll do a district infrastructure day so that we don't have to have two different modes of operating, basically. Because now you're having, if you are doing infrastructure work and meter project work at the same time, we're having to say, okay, well, which crew is it doing what, and who am I following to track their hours? It's a total nightmare, which actually we ended up having to do at the end of the project because we were running up against the clock. And we said, well, it's, they were, we were basically being told if we don't get this done before the end of the year, there's going to be huge issues. You know, everybody was kind of being told that. So,
so that was the
last billing was a little bit convoluted, and we had to work with the inspector.
Right, so in a couple of weeks, you turn the deliverables over, staff's going to look at it and say, yeah, we can read this. I mean, you're going to show them.
Yeah.
And or we
it'll
have
be
to make
usable.
A decision to have you guys retweak the thing.
Right. And by retweaking, all we mean by that is maybe I would say a minor scope of work relative to this, to have our database technician create like an output, like a report that can just have all the files for an address in one PDF or one deliverable that also accounts for not just the construction part of it, but the other parts of the budget that I'm not necessarily privy to or kind of not really in my realm, like the cost for the box and the meter, and taking our costs and dividing it out, doing the other, I guess, base costs that go into the meter project, and developing a report for every address that says, here's your address, this was the meter type, this was, if there was an extra work, there's an extra work report, there's photos that go with that, and it's just, and then the district can decide what information to send to residents or not. That would be like an example, right? Versus, we're just gonna provide an Excel sheet, essentially. We could give you all the database files, but I don't know if you have a if you use Microsoft Access. And a spreadsheet,
all the addresses and the columns, all the information, and here's a bunch of PDFs with all of the change orders by date, and here's a bunch of photos organized by address, you know? And so you can go through with the Excel sheet, you could add on your, you know what I mean, the extra components that are part of the cost, and, you know, go from there. I think it'll be doable. It's just a matter of, I think, everybody looking at it and saying how much time and effort is involved to produce, you know, whatever it is you want to produce for the residents.
Well, I think my initial thought is the residents know that they're going to get a bill for the labor of the box and all the stuff, the installation thing. You write on there, staff figures out what it is based on all your data, you send it out, and if you get a, somebody calls up and it is banging on the desk, why is line 800? You go in and you look at that when you pull that,
yes,
and you pull those out.
Exactly. And that's what I think.
Instead of doing it on every single
one. No, right. I wouldn't do it on every single one, but I would say by having that output, you would be already equipped with it, meaning you could just go to the file and pull it out. So either one I think is workable, but I agree, like what you would send to the residents would just be the basic cost information, you know, under the bill. And you know, and if, then if they come banging on the door asking for the supporting documents, we go and pull it from the file, and it's just a matter of how you pull it from the file. You gotta go to the Excel sheet and then say, well, it was this date, so I'll go to the PDFs and look for that date, and I'll go through and look for that address, and I'll pull those out, and then I'll go to the photos and find those photos and pull those out.
I'm trying to keep it the most organized, so when somebody comes in upset, they're not standing there for 10 minutes while Kelly or Willow are going to look through all these different pieces.
Here's my solution to that. I would never expect staff to have to do that.
Yeah.
I would say, we're going to take your complaint. We have all the documentation. It's probably going to take me about a week to 10 days to get the answer. But when we get the answer, we're going to show you a picture.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to show you this. We're going to show you that. So you're going to ding, ding, ding. That way it takes the pressure off. You don't have to solve that problem right now.
Right, right.
I would not expect staff to do that. I don't know.
I think you're asking for issues that we don't need. And also, it's almost like a cooling off period. I mean, you just reassure. I like the fact, you know, reassure them of what, technical data that we can give you. You know, pretty much saying you are going to be satisfied with what I give you when I give it to you. I just don't have to sing at my fingertips.
Yeah.
Because it'd be a waste of money to do that for 3,500 homes. Just think,
for
500 to show up, or 200, or 100, or 50 to show up.
My guess on 3,500, it was not going to be 10%. 2%.
Well, let me ask you something. So originally we talked about, like for type ones, we were thinking, or I think type ones, we were thinking around 580 to 620, something like that per meter. Has it gone up, are we way above that, or do we even know?
Don't know at this point for sure. So, but there's just with the contract extension.
Well, then the other thing that says is like you're saying maybe it's a $50. You mentioned the fact that maybe there was a fence mailbox post that was too close to a meter box and had to be pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we put it back in, or if they put it back in, or whatever. And it's like a $50 deal. Well, how much did it cost us for you to write up that $50 change order?
Well, it's included in his costs that are going to be part of the
LB.
Well, that's
okay. Yeah, so it's going to be. It'll be a $100 bill for the $50.
That's what I'm saying. We're paying $100 for you to write a report for $50.
Well, the inspector was out there all day, every day, anyway. So he was already out there,
So probably the analysis will be is once we sit down and we understand what the data is we're actually receiving and how easy it is to work with, it'll be an analysis of staff time versus automating.
That's
right. Correct. And you'll be able to, at a meeting, at the next meeting or whatever meeting,
report back.
Give us back and say, this is a pain in the butt, we're going to have to go this way, or no, it's not.
Right.
And we can figure it out.
And we're just talking like an extra 5K, 10K step to kind of just tweak the report.
Well,
I'm throwing numbers out, but I'm just saying
5 or 10K.
I'm not doing it
well for rehab.
I'm not saying I'm not doing it because I
well, I understand
desire
that.
Extremely.
Yeah,
I'm saying it's if the district needs that help, we can provide that additional help.
Well, cross that bridge.
Going back to the original presentation. So we still have not addressed the general services contract at the end of the year.
No, we're briefing you on it, and so my suggestion is we wanted to bring the issue to you. I'm going to have Dina work with Justin, and then it's actually on the cost overrun, I believe, is on the, no, we just took it off. It wasn't going to be on the agenda. We took it off. So that'll be on the next board meeting, a decision on how to deal with that. Something they arrive at on how to get us through the rest of the year. That way we don't have to wait another month to bring it before this committee and then another 3 weeks before the board.
So we're talking 4 months, right?
Yeah.
So
a 4 month period to get us into 18-19.
Correct.
Clear up in my mind again. So we have a general services contract from you that lasts for a year.
Yeah.
You used for the last 4 months of that money plus 10 grand on what?
More than 10.
I'll answer that because I know. 33% of the general services contract, if you backed out all the water meter stuff they've done, he's only used 33% of that general.
Okay, so he was burning general, so he, Ludolf Scolmanini, because I don't get this personal, Ludolf Scolmanini was burning up general services budget just to keep that guy going and keep the project going.
Keep the project, but it was always wrapped into by Captain, always wrapped into that general services contract.
Oh, that's right.
Instead of separating
that,
out.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well,
okay. I was missing the connection there.
Right.
Why are we talking about two different things as one? Because they were made one at one point.
Yeah, my staff were billing to one project number, and they have different tasks to bill to, so we can track where they're most
going,
but we have one contract.
Got it.
Amen.
Right. Anyway.
Okay, so you.
You've been briefed.
Yeah.
Don't know the number yet, but
we've
been briefed. It's coming. Yeah. That's usually not a good sign. There's a little number you tell us today.
Should we do like I'll call it like a demo or something, just on staff and board who lives here in town, do a preliminary number. So
well,
we're
going to be working on it.
Okay. All right. I just thought maybe you.
We will.
Test the waters, per se.
Per se. No pun intended. That's about as clear as the lagoon for me.
Okay. All right.
And,
Without the Altium.
And, no, I appreciate all the hard work, though. And, we got it completed. And we got it completed under time-wise, on time, if not better than on time, and it's just unfortunate. It's the only time we're going to have to do it, and so there's going to be these issues we have to deal with. Just want to make sure that we only pass on what we should and pay what we should.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else, Bill?
I don't have
it. Any future discussion or agenda items? Well, we have a few that popped up today. You need to bring back some stuff to us.
What is it?
Contract. We're going to bring back the contract.
For Ludolf and Scalmini.
Well,
I'm probably going to bring it before the board because our next meeting's not for a month.
Okay.
If you want, we can
nope.
We can delay it and we can.
We don't need
that's
it.
One of the reasons why we want to update you on
it. No, it needs to be on the board. We know enough of the details that we can help move it along if we have to. But it needs to go before the board.
Okay, so on the future discussion agenda items, we want to update you on San Bay Isle. That'll be something that we need to talk to them about.
Well, they haven't started their...
San Bay Isle?
They haven't started their meter
project.
They've started it, and we've run into complication on the last 25% of it.
Right.
So we need to update you on that.
Right. Just so if you hear through the grapevine, they do have a major leak going on within one of the meters, and one of the meters serves 10 condos.
So they can't figure out where it is yet.
That's correct. They more than likely, and they've had this probably for a while, just now that we put the meter on, and the smart meter's telling you have continuous flow through there. And as of today, or last night, 545 gallons an hour. So
I've heard it.
So I believe they personally have multiple leaks going on. Because
well,
you can see some.
Now that there's a meter on there, they're paying for the 545 gallons.
The HOA is. How away did the HOA
build something, not our business.
That's not our business.
I don't care, as long as we're getting a bid for the deposit.
That's correct. So I just wanted to hear you may hear about it.
There should be a plumber over there looking right now.
I just want to make a comment that there was a compliment paid to Virgil today on one of the social media sites.
Where?
On one of the social media sites. I'm not to be specific. I don't want to patronize it. That said that you had contacted somebody about a possible leak within their home, and they found it, and it was a bad hose or a leaky hose, and the leaky hose caused it. And they were very appreciative of the fact that the town has that ability now, and that Virgil took the time to show them on their computer how to monitor it themselves. And I just want to say, that's how it's supposed to work, Virgil. Thank you for upholding that.
That's our flag. I mean, our flag, his team, put that together. So I just spoke for you that.
I understand, but you know what? The more, we'll take the good press with the bad. So I appreciate that. And hopefully, if we can get enough people, because I'm sure there's a lot of old homes out here. There's a lot of homes that have old plumbing in them. And if we can continue to get people to see the benefit, some of the side benefit, which I tried to bring up before, of having that meter on there and the conservation of water in California. And this is going to be another drought year. So it's going to be all over the news about how we're going to have water conservation.
They just passed new drought regulations.
Yeah.
Good point.
They just passed the new drought regulations.
Just for today, we have 492 leaks of the 6,200 meters out there.
Including, yeah,
492, roughly.
That's what I was going to call it.
So some of them are really small. When I say small, a gallon or two, the majority of them are 10 and less. But the bigger ones are the ones that...
Right, but you're still doing 10, trying to do 10 a day or something like that?
I try to go 20, 25 a day.
Oh, okay.
Overall, your response is
like
a whole lot.
But some people,
they don't care.
That's right. A majority of them do care, so they do take interest in it and fix it. Some don't.
That's out of your total services?
Huh?
The 492, is that a total 6,000?
Out of the 6,200 roughly that we have in the ground.
Okay. So, yeah.
Is there anything? Is there anything we can do from a penal standpoint for people that are going to continue to waste water because of
a lot of times it's
but they're not just paying for it. It's putting a burden on the system. It's putting a burden on the infrastructure. It's hurting the town when they neglect a leak to a certain extent. I understand it completely, but I'd like to.
We have updated our water ordinance, so it's still in the works. We're going to be bringing that to the board, and in that is something like that. We should do a whole new water ordinance, so you will see that.
Because, like, 95% care, but for those 5% that don't,
that's right.
It's not
there's
right.
There's going to be penalties.
Which will be on this committee agenda as well.
It will be,
Okay. And hearing nothing, no other. Good cause, anything else?
We'll probably have a diffuser up here next week.
All right, diffuser.
Oh, okay.
Concept for repair.
Yeah, they're supposed to have a draft before our next meeting. All right. We'll have it. It won't be fine, but we'll have some input.
Great. Nothing else?